Been thinking lately what a wonderful thing it is that many here have actually professed the name of Jesus. And I'm so happy, down to the youngest person, that has actually confessed their sin and put their faith in Jesus. This is a glorious matter and a life-changing matter. But I am concerned, both for myself and for each one of you, that there needs to be this day-to-day sanctification, becoming like Christ. Positionally, we're there. Positionally, we're accepted in Christ. But there's this change that is to be happening each day to the day when we're made like Him. We're conformed to His image. Christ is what God is conforming each one of us to. And I think there's a very real danger if we become lax or slack in our Christianity, even as a young person, if this process of sanctification isn't happening or tailing off. I want to take up the reality that after we become believers, failure does come into our lives. And how do we deal with this failure? And how are we to truly have victory in Jesus? How truly are we to live getting victory each day for the Lord Jesus Christ? So I thought I'd just read four verses in Romans 8, verse 1 to 4. Romans 8, verse 1 to verse 4. There is now then no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, having sent His own Son in the likeness of flesh of sin, and for sin, has condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law should be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In these four verses, you have first verse, no condemnation. In the second verse, you have set me free, a new power. In the third verse, you have the sending of Christ, who becomes our strength and our power. And in verse 4, you have the walk according to the Spirit in power. So in the first verse, we have that there is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. What if failure has come into your life as a Christian? Well, from the atonement side and from the solid work of Christ, that still stands. Paul believed in the security of the believer when they trusted the Lord that they were secure. So, first of all, if there's failure and you truly have trusted the Lord Jesus, it's covered. For at the cross, God heaped on all the sins of men, past and future, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and made a way available through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever put their faith and trust in that work had the benefit, had the blessing of having all the condemnation removed, having all the guilt and shame of sin taken away by the Lord Jesus. So first of all, Is that your portion? Have you put your faith? Have you come in repentance to God and owed, not only have I done sins, but I have a sin nature. I confess that I am a sinner before you, God. I confess that your judgment would be righteous to send me into hell, to send me into judgment. Have you come to that? That your sin is leading you on to judgment. And have you confessed the Lord Jesus as your Savior? It's available, but you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you do, we can say with certainty, there is no condemnation. You have the matter of your acceptance before God settled. You see, if God was now to condemn you, he would have to condemn the Lord Jesus. And he will never condemn the Lord Jesus. He is satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus. So our acceptance before God rises and falls on the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is solid. So, when failure comes into our lives, as it does, and I come before you too, just conscious again of failure in my life, it is so comforting to start with this foundation stone. There is no condemnation to those in Christ. You're in a protected place. You are now, by putting your faith in Christ, you are now in Christ. What a glorious place of safety. Person who wrote that song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, was caught in a storm and found a little cave. If lightning was hitting all around, right? Would you feel safe outside in the field? Would you feel safe under a tree? No, the lightning could hit that, right? But if you're into a cave and there was lightning all around and storm and wind, you would feel safe. Well, how much safer we are in the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just allow the work of Christ to come freshly to your soul. But you'll notice it speaks here of sin. It doesn't speak of sins in verse 3. Condemned sin in the flesh. So we have our sins, what we've done, but we have this sin nature. And when we're believers and we put our trust in Christ, there is a new work of God in us, but we still have that flesh in us. There was that wonderful, as one man has explained, that honeycomb in the lion, there was life there, wonderful living life, but it was in the carcass of a lion. So also the work of God in us. It's an entirely new work, it's there, but it's still in a vessel of flesh. There really is new creation, there is what is new, but we have what is old. And so in the previous chapter, we find the very real experience of it. It says in verse 15, "For that which I do not own. For this I will, this I not. What I will, this I do. But what I hate, this I practice. But if I do not will, this I practice, I consent to the law that it is right. Now then, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For For I know that in me, that in my flesh, good does not dwell. When we're conscious of failure, when we're conscious of sin coming in, the first thing is that we are not to expect from the flesh that we will be able to change it. And this is a very hard lesson to learn. We think we can change it. Peter said, well, if everybody else deny you, I won't. That he could stand in his own strength. And we are independent people, and we like to do things in our own strength. But in ourselves we have no strength. But we are made to feel that we have no strength. You might see that, oh yes, I agree with the doctrine that we have the flesh. But have you found it yourself? Even as a new believer, have you found it? You've sought to do what is right, and have you found that you've done what is wrong? Our insufficiency should lead us again to Christ, feeling, see afresh his death, is not only to cleanse it from its guilt, from sin's guilt, but from sin's power. And how does he do this? And that brings in the thought of the Holy Spirit. If we are to get victory, if we are to know what is walk in power here, wonderfully, the Lord would bring the Holy Spirit before our souls. We can actually, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who's seeking to reproduce the life of Christ in our lives. He isn't trying to make our lives better. He's trying to produce the life of Christ in us. Just to give you an example, if you go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, and no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. But in that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and has given himself for me. God is not trying to produce a better you. He's set aside you in every form, your good points as well as your bad. He set that completely aside. That's what the cross means. Every bit of me was unacceptable to God. It has been completely set aside. It isn't like a house that you can, use some of the old materials and build it up. It had to be completely dealt with at the cross. Just allow that to sink in. Everything that I am by the flesh has been completely set aside at the cross. Now, to make a good construction, Thomas, you really have to clear the ground completely if you're going to make a solid house on there. And this is what is needed. Clear the ground completely in your mind. It all has to go. These points that you think you're good at and you're, I just need a little work on that. No, all of it goes. In fact, Paul said all of it was like dung to him once he saw the worthiness and the glory of Christ. All his achievements, and if anybody could boast about achievements, about heritage, about lineage, about scholastic achievement, about even practically, as to the law, blameless, doing all the offerings up to the top level, it would have been Paul. If somebody could brag, and he puts it all aside. Oh, what a wonderful day. May that come practically, not as a theory, but practically to your soul and to mine. It all has to go. And what God wants to produce is the life of Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here for, to promote the life of Christ in each one of us. What a glorious and wonderful thing is. What's the answer to indwelling sin? Indwelling Christ. Self-effort out. Dependent on Christ through the Spirit in. Indwelling Christ. You realize when you became a believer, you became a partaker of the divine nature. That is so awesome. Why would you go back to self-improvement? Why would you even look to the flesh for what is better? Have Christ before your eyes. If your eye is single, your whole body will be light. He's putting, the Spirit's word is to put Christ before us and help us to deal with the flesh. Our insufficiency leads us to Christ. The Spirit working inside us can lead us to a victorious rock as we are rightly related to the Holy Spirit. Who is this person, the Holy Spirit? Do you realize how awesome, how wonderful this divine person is? He is now indwelling you. And if you make room for him, you make room for him, and you see to walk as under his instruction, your life can become the life of Christ expressed to men and women around. That is so high. Nature cannot achieve that. Our efforts cannot achieve this. But dependence on Christ, obedience to the Spirit, obedience to God's Word through the power of the Spirit can bring this about. And it's needed. We need it now more than ever to be truly alive in Christ. We need to be exhibiting Christ's life with much power in the day, with much wickedness around us as believers. We need to be here in power. And he's made it available through the Holy Spirit. It says here, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." So before we're converted, all we can do is sin, die, sin, die, sin, die, sin, die. Now we have the power of Christ. We don't have to sin anymore. We can sow to the Spirit and reap life. We can come to life in Christ. We can get off of this sinning and dying and sinning and death and sinning and sorrow. Getting off that little round wheel that all men are on and can't get off. Can't get off. You think of that next time when you present the gospel to somebody. They're on one of those little gerbil wheels that they can't get off of. All they can do is sin and die. Is that what you want for your friends? Is that what you want for relatives that don't know? No. We want to get off. But we ourselves have to, and this is the challenge for me as a speaker as well, we have to stop sinning. But the way is through the indwelling Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the sufficiency of Christ for every situation. We proved it fresh this week. Number of situations came up. We just went to the Lord in prayer, and he came in. Hallelujah. I was fairly affected on a trip overseas by one man's very simple testimony. He said, "I didn't know." I said, "How did the Lord make himself real to you?" Well, he says, I confessed Jesus as my Savior, but I wasn't sure. So he said, "Lord," he prayed to him, "Lord, I think I'm saved, but can you really let me know?" So really simple. And he said, guess what? A peace came into my soul that day that has not left it since. That's how simple the Lord wants you. You tell him, I don't want more of this failure. Lord, help me to have deliverance. I want to be a better daughter or son. I want to be a better husband or wife. I want to be a better brother in Christ to my fellow brothers. Just tell them. It's not complicated. It's a Lord who hears our prayers. And it's an important prayer to pray. Because we need to be getting victory in our lives here, in our pathway. And then it says here, what the law could not do, though that was weak through the flesh, God, having sent his own Son in likeness of flesh of sin, has condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law should be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. This making way and enjoying this new life we have in Christ, by the Spirit's power, it regulates and controls our sin nature, which we still have. So that this life gives us the strength to refuse the evil and to do the good. Gives us the power to say no. Do you know that saying no is a wonderful thing? Everything these days is like McDonald's, you know? Yeah. I want it, I get it. I want it, I get it. No. No. Maybe it's the right desire, maybe it's the wrong time. No. Maybe it's the wrong thing altogether. But God says no, and we should be learning as believers to say no. Walking in this newness of life, you see it in a little picture with Peter walking on the water. Right? So, he's walking by faith in the word of Christ. Does Christ ever lie to me? No. Has he ever said what's wrong? No. He's saying to me, come, and I'm going. And off he goes, and he's walking on the water. That's what walking by the Spirit looks like. There may be wind, there may be waves, but you're walking to Christ. But then his eye gets on the wind and the waves, and he looks down, and he gets his eye off of Christ. And his own insufficiency and the bigness of the circumstances. And he starts to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord was right there. So when you step out in this walk of faith for the Lord Jesus, in this desire to be here, living victoriously for him, be assured that the Lord Jesus is right there. And if you feel like I'm saggy, especially think of mums, they don't have much time. Their days are so busy. But that prayer right there, Lord, help me. We can immediately get the help. You know, we were noticing that in Nehemiah, between the time the king asked him, what do you want? And he said what he wanted. He had in a very fast prayer. You know, God help me. I need real wisdom here. And then he started speaking. I mean, God is that near. God is that close. He desires your blessing. And it is that simple. We feel temptation. We feel testy. Call out to God. He was right there for Peter. Why did you doubt? Brought him out. He was right beside him. And Peter proved what none of those in the boat proved. He stepped out. And it's a challenge, even amongst believers.
to step out further in your faith, to step out further in your trust in God. One thing again, and so come back from this trip even more confident in the Word of God than when I went. I'm more confident that the Word of God is such a strong, strong foundation for your soul. You can trust it. You can put your life on it. And behind it is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd is calling. And it says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, here we have, what is your response going to be? Are we going to walk in the Spirit, or are we going to walk in the flesh? Walking daily in the Holy Spirit. I can't think of a better life. We never know what's around the corner. And if we walk in the Spirit, the Lord will provide opportunities. The Lord will provide a way through. The Lord will, in the most difficult situation, the all-sufficiency of Christ, the all-sufficiency of His Word is there. And the power is in the Spirit. And what I just like would to sum up with is that the what has come to my soul in this section is the power and person of the Holy Spirit. And that we're to relate ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to walk in His power and have Christ dwelling in our souls for His name's sake.